A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 25th June 2024, Tuesday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 586. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo a mi tho fo. Namo a mi tho fo. Namo a mi tho fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo mi lo fo. Namo pu sien pu sa. Namo pu sien pu sa. Namo pu sien pu sa. Namo di zang wang pu sa. Namo di zang wang pu sa. Namo di zang wang pu sa. Namo fo pu sa. Namo fo pu sa. Namo fo pu sa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava. Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo. Dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato sauka sango sanghang namami. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura saraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Mosavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue our puja chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina di loka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi bedang kusumena nena punena metena ce hotu mukhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati binasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Let us now chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offerings of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Bedang puje. Damang puje. Sanghang puje. Okay, before we start, I'd like to share with you all our new book. We have this latest book which I told you all earlier on. It has been printed and is now ready for Kayamita to receive them. So if you came in late, you can take a copy in front here. Or if you want to take for your friends or what, you can have more. But this particular book is a very important book. It's very unique. It explains a lot of understanding of the totality of cultivation, especially the Supreme Vehicle teaching beyond the sainthood way. So here in the title, as you can see, we started off with the main title, Ultimate Realization. So this is not just an ordinary enlightenment, it's a realization. Means ultimately, you not only realize the enlightenment, but you realize the important understanding of both the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma's realization that enable you to fully understand life and to transcend life. That's why the title is Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. Means to go beyond birth and death and to develop the understanding of life, to live life, and how the form and mind, even though not real, not us, not a permanent unchanging entity, but it has a lot to do with our karmic nature. It is an important vehicle and tool for us to come. It is karmically conditioned from our karmic nature. For those who are not taking the Bodhisattva way, they may have to come through the karmic process, which is due to avijja. But for those who have the understanding and are taking the Bodhisattva way, they take rebirth through the pure mind, which is out of love and compassion without avijja. That is the big difference. Then from there, how we can make use of the form and mind, or for our case, is the human being, to cultivate, to live life, to develop all the understanding, awakening, perfection, cultivation, and to go through the karmic process, fulfill our vows and do all those things that we can understand and make use of to live our beautiful life while on earth, thereby realizing that famous Heart Sutta stanza, true emptiness after you realize them is wonderful existence. In Mandarin is often spoken as 真空妙有. When you have penetrated true emptiness, then existence become meaningful, wonderful, and extraordinarily beautiful. So that is the big picture. Then the whole process of cultivation, explaining all the creation process starting from the source or the oneness nature, our Buddha nature, and how the first thing to arise is the pure awareness nature. Then from that pure awareness nature, how it conditioned the mundane activity or mundane thinking, mundane mind to arise. So this mundane mind, which is the main actor, where the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, where mind arise, all things arise. That mind is the mundane mind. So all these are explained and you will understand them. The Buddha call it mano. Mano. Then how from the mundane mind, which is trapped in the physical body that has a sixth sense basis, upon contact of mind with the sense basis and the respective external sense data, how it trigger off the six type of consciousness that enable us to experience the world, to know the world, to interact with them and to create a phenomenal world of consciousness and form. So all this creative process via the four circle formation is clearly explained that how and why you need mindfulness to develop the wisdom and understanding of all this. And the cultivation process, of course, you need awareness, mindfulness. So all these are explained. And how the teaching has to evolve, like what we have gone through under the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. The Buddha explained the sainthood way, the preliminary teaching or provisional teaching, where he used a lot of expedient way to teach the basic essential Dhamma, mainly the Four Noble Truths and its three turning. That one is just sufficient for awakening, realization of the sainthood way leading to Arahantaship. Of course, they realize Nibbana, but they have not touched the awareness nature to transform within, to go the Bodhisattva way. So that part is under the Supreme Vehicle Teaching, where the Buddha taught the all-pervading and also the complete understanding of the whole cultivation and teaching, which is very extensive, covering eons and eons and eons of perfection and cultivation. So all these are explained in this book. So make sure you get a copy, Eskayamita. You should rejoice because we all use the Kayamita fund to bear the cost of this book. And we should thank all those who help out in the transcript work, proofreading, editing, and also the printing and formatting of the book. So as to fulfill all the causes and conditions for this book to arise in its present form, which is very nice. We should thank Sui also for coming out with a cover which is more relevant. The uniqueness of the cover is beautiful. That's why in the cover you see at the top there is the physical time, psychological time, and finally the timeless, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So understanding these three periods of time and the unreality of time, they are all explained in this book. And it's really very beautiful. And this teaching arises from my unit, Dhamma Code 105. And you read the back, we mentioned the unit code 105. Then there's a short paragraph on the author, which is me. So I read to you. Virtuous unit Dhamma Code teaching can help cultivator of the way to develop clear understanding of what this pure awareness nature within us is. He has authored several books, and his unique Dhamma Code book titled Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code is truly unique. In this new book, Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life, he shared his profound insight on one of the unique code 105. So that's how this book came about. It's transcribed from a Dhamma talk I delivered on the recent Thursday class, not too long ago. So if you were to go through that thing, you will know. So this one is based on the Thursday class, 22nd February 2024. So So it's February 2024. The date is the 22nd. So develop the understanding to understand the importance of cultivating this inner awareness nature, where this is the nature within that can transform your understanding and cultivation to a very, very fast manner, in a very, very fast manner. Without this awareness nature, very difficult to understand the true teachings of the Buddha. But once you develop the ability to stabilize this inner awareness via the four support that I have taught you all, then you will progress very fast. You will understand all the teaching very fast. Technically, after that, you don't really need a teacher because you will be able to progress on your own. But without a good guide or a good teacher to guide you, it may take very long, exceptionally long. Because this teaching is so unique and so difficult to comprehend, to the extent that very few cultivators of the way can truly understand the whole process. And it's very easy to debate. Well, my nature realized most Buddhists or cultivators of the way, they are all trapped in thought-based meditation. They do not understand the real meaning of the nature, awareness nature within, that is beyond thought, beyond mind. And because of that, very few people can develop the cultivation to penetrate the understanding of this teaching that the Buddha has taught us. What I meant is the Supreme Vehicle Teaching. The Sainthood Way is relatively a lot easier. But nevertheless, you need to go through the Sainthood Way to continue with the Supreme Vehicle Way. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. Remember the first three of the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize the awareness. The fourth support you only do when you have the ability to stabilize your inner awareness. When you have stabilized it, then you can go for the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your inner nature to activate and develop the meditative movement to detect the gateway to your nature, to arise the transformation or meditative movement within your nature. So all this, as you progress, you will understand. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness or awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then stabilize it while living life. Use it to develop the daily mindfulness, the stability of it, leading to heedfulness in the midst of life. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyakawalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho. Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido. Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati. Satta deva manusanam. Do bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pachyatang veditato vinuhiti. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Yadhyanapanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho. Yadidang chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can be seated and relax body and mind, maintain some more attention, then we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 586 of this book, volume 4, chapter 3, A Parables by Master Xuan Hua. These are the series of book commentaries by Master Xuan Hua on this topic. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing. Okay, now we continue. So we stop here after the 10 characteristics of an elders. So these are the 10 characteristics of an elders. So the elders is a metaphor for the Buddha. So here, age, as stated in the sutta, it is said that as one grows old, one acquires virtue. Virtue can be spoken of in terms of inner virtue and outer virtue. Inner virtue refers to wisdom. If one has wisdom, one will have virtue. So this word is very true. I used to share with you all, to have true virtue, you must have wisdom. Without wisdom, there is no true virtue. Because most of the time, it's virtue or do good according to the individual. So if you think that is virtue, then you may be misled or confused. Because good according to us is based on our conditioning, belief system, or religious value, or society's norm. So all this may not be the real truth or virtue. What is important is when it comes to Dhamma, to realize the true virtue, you need to understand the spiritual teaching, the actual teaching of the Buddha, which is based on his Dhamma. Dhamma are truth, nature's truth. These are nature's Aryan truth, means evergreen, always the same. And these are what we call the Pancha Niyamas, the five universal order of nature that governs life and existence. So once you understand these five Pancha Niyama, you have right view, right understanding, then you will be able to cultivate according to all these nature's laws, spiritual understanding that enable you to develop true virtue. So true virtue is based on wisdom, understanding. It's not a knowledge. It's not a view or opinion or belief system or tradition. It's not even some form of knowledge or society's norm that people has formulated. No, it is entirely beyond. Yeah, these are conditioned views or conditioned Dhamma that people accept through their own conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, and all those things. So, coming back to the sharing, I explain to you again. Xianhua said, inner virtue refers to wisdom, which is very true. If one has wisdom, then one will have virtue. Means you have right view, right understanding. You have spiritual understanding, which is wisdom. And this will give rise to true virtue. Otherwise, it's not the real virtue. It could be relative truth, conventional truth, conventional virtue. Then the Buddha continued to explain. And Xianhua has broken it down into internal virtue and external virtue. So here the word age means as you grow old, as you go through life, you develop more and more understanding. That's why one acquire wisdom to develop the virtue. So virtue can be divided in terms of inner virtue and outer virtue. Then inner virtue refers to the spiritual understanding or wisdom. When you have that, then the form and mind with the understanding of that spiritual teaching or wisdom, it will have inner virtue. Then whatever you do, act, speak, or think is all virtuous based on the understanding. But there is another virtue which is external. So this one refers to with wealth and resources, one can also cultivate outer virtue. So when you have wealth, let's say money, or the resources to help people, to donate, to bring about wholesomeness, and all this activity can come about when you have wealth and resources. So this can enable people to develop outer virtue, means all your goodness your wholesomeness based on society's condition and needs. So here, I read on, Xianhua said the elder is very old and possess broad knowledge or wisdom about the past and the present. He knows what happened in the past and what is going to happen now. So this one, I think, is quite easy to understand by now. That's why the Buddha always say, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind from the past. So when you understand what happened in the past, then you will also understand the present. So here, Xianhua says he knows, means the Buddha knows, what happened in the past and what is going on now, as if he could see everything with his own eye. So this is a metaphor for the Buddha's virtual wisdom. In fact, I also shared this with you all before. When you have the understanding, you can actually have this understanding or wisdom to realize this truth. That's why I told you all since the early day until now. The way I develop my cultivation is I do not touch psychic. I don't have psychic. I cannot know anything based on psychic. But my nature without psychic can understand many things, can see the sign, can observe nature's manifestation and condition, that it can understand why things are the way it is. Man to be will be conditioned like that, things will be like that. And this is what Dhamma is, wisdom is. When you have the cultivation, the Dhamma understanding, then you can see all the causes and conditions behind. Then when somebody approach me, or meet up with me, maybe he wants to come and join my Dhamma classes or whatever, or they wants to develop understanding of why they are like that, especially meditation question and karmic related question. So whenever they got issue or problem or what, normally Sui An or other karmita will refer them to me if they cannot handle or resolve. Then what I normally do is I will tell them, if this person has affinity and he himself or herself want to come, then let them come. Unless they want to come, please don't like kepo or try to help, no point. But if they sincerely wants to find out the answer or understand why they are like that, then they can come. And normally when they come, I will ask them some very basic question. Then they will tell me. Then in order to understand why they are like that, I need to know what they do in this life. What are the situations that they encounter? Then what are the things that actually haunt them and cause them suffering or misery? Then my nature will know how to advise them and how to enable them to overcome all those things or reverse all those things to follow in the Dhamma way. So the three things that I normally advise them to do is, because it's usually karmic related, that's why the Buddha say we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if it's karmically related, then you need to resolve it through that understanding of the law of karma. That's why I say you must come to terms with this reality, like the Buddha said. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions from the past. Then we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditions for the way we are what we are because. So it definitely has a lot to do with your karmic past. So if it is karmic, you have to accept that these are the reality. The causes and conditions you planted, now there is condition for you to be tormented or afflicted through the karmic process. You cannot say why life is like that, why people are like that. How come I am so sui, like full of bad luck or bad situation? How come things every time hit so hard and cause so much suffering, misery and affliction? It's not to say why, because there is this law, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So the karmic process is very clear. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. And this is a nature's law, beyond questioning. So if you understand this, then you do what you have to do with clarity of mind. Come to terms with this reality. Through right view, accept what happened. Develop the ability to accept what happened means the reality. Condition like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. Why you still want to go against nature? Go against what is? That is the reality. So if we have that understanding, that right view, then we come to terms with that reality and accept. That's why acceptance is the first wisdom understanding that you must have. Then when you accept, you are at peace. You're no longer in the state of agitated conflict and unhappiness. You no longer blame, get angry, or jealous, or whatever, or develop the hatred towards somebody, or try to take revenge and all those things. No more. So acceptance actually free your mind from the evil state of anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, delusion, the three evil roots. Once there are no more, your mind actually settle down. Your mind will be more peaceful, more calm, more composed. There is clarity. Then you ask yourself, what actually happened? How can I develop the understanding through the Dhamma way to resolve all this amicably? Then you realize, oh, this is what the Buddha said. The first noble truth reality, the eight condition. All of your suffering, affliction, misery, karmic, they have to do with the eight reality, especially the first seven. Of course, the final summary is the last one. Then when you know it's karmic, so what you must do? You need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness. You need to do repentance, you do repentance. And all this has been taught by me. It's also printed in the chanting book. And in many areas that I have shared. So all these are ways to help you overcome your karmic past. Especially karmic obstruction. They can be very severe, very real. And they can obstruct that victim from seeing the light, where the karmic consciousness can move in such a way that you will be affected. Even at our Wutai San trip, we all witnessed how Po Cheng's sister, Han Mo Cheng, how at the Pei Tai Northern Terrace, she got herself entangled, and how the karmic consciousness arise and make her do certain things that her normal self would not do. That's why she used the word in Cantonese. It's like very sui, sui do tip tai, and all those things. I mean, this is what karmic consciousness is all about. You cannot avoid, because when there is karmic past, it will come and haunt you. Then obstruction means it obstructs you from seeing the light, from understanding, so that you have to continue to allow the karmic process to afflict you and cause you suffering and misery. And many people cannot understand all this. That's why those who get entangled, they become more and more deluded, until they get more and more angry, create more and more negative thought process, until it gives rise to depression. So they call it the cocoon of heedless thinking, negative emotion, the anger, the hatred, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the misery, the insecurity, all those things. So these are negative mind states that trigger mental suffering, intense fear, worry, anxiety, and they become very depressed. That's why depression set in, followed by suicidal thought. So all these are the noble truth, reality that the Buddha talked about. So if you don't break the karmic obstruction, you will be entangled and you cannot move. But the moment you ask for forgiveness or develop the repentance, there's something strange happen within nature's law. It will have the effect of breaking the karmic obstruction. It's just like in our society, when you have misunderstanding with somebody, when you have an argument, or a quarrel or a fight, then what happens is the two of you cannot see eye to eye. Every time when you think of the other person think of you, or you see you or sense you around, you get very angry, emotional. Yeah, you recall the unhappy moments, the anger, the hatred, the misunderstanding that erupted. Then sometimes it's the respective person's phobia because they have been bullied. So all this, they will manifest. So when they manifest as karmic, then later on in your life, if there are causes and conditions for you to pay back the karma or become the victim of what you did to people, then you go through the same suffering or karmic process. So when you ask for forgiveness, it's like in society, suddenly one day we realize the foolishness of getting angry with that person, especially if they are your sister, your siblings, or your children, or even your spouse, or good friend, or neighbor, or what. Then one day you realize, I think this is not right. I also partly to be blamed. Then he is maybe the way he is. Then you decide to ask for forgiveness from him. You know what happened? The moment you ask for forgiveness, the other person also will tone down. And they will tell you, don't worry, small matter. I'm also at fault. Then the relationship become different, approachable. So in terms of nature's law, the law of karma works similarly. When you ask for forgiveness sincerely in front of the altar, in front of all the great beings, the Buddha and Bodhisattva, based on the format that I have given you, whomsoever from the distant past until now, this nature of mine would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. Means all these people from the distant mind, you know, whether you have knowingly or unknowingly caused them any karmic negativity, suffering, affliction, or misery, or misled, you would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. Then you say, may this sincere apology be accepted by all. Then may it help my nature to break free from all this coming obstruction so that I can recover the good mind state, to clarity of mind, to continue with my cultivation and life. So if you do this with understanding, then there will be a response from nature's condition, the law of karma. So that is the first thing you have to do. Ask for forgiveness. Repent. Then you vow in front of the Buddha from now onward to do this sincerely, the repentant. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Because you know these are wrong actions. Evil karmic consequence can arise. So through all this understanding, you develop the sincerity to ask for forgiveness or repentance, then sincerely follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind means not to commit all this karmic negativity again. This is the cultivation process. When you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind means you follow Dhammapada verse 183, which are the advice of all Samasa Buddha. In Pali, they always recite it such. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyuddhapanam etang buddhana sasana. So sabba means all, papasa means evil, akaranam, you have to avoid all evil. Then kusala means wholesomeness, upasampadan means wherever there is wholesomeness, if there is condition to do, you must do, so as to develop more virtue, goodness, and wholesomeness. Then, finally, is to meditate, to purify your mind. Sacitta is mind, tapanam. So purify the mind. Etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of all Samasambuddha. So this is how it can be very effective. Then from then onward, we are following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate this way, is following the Dhamma way. This is what Dhamma cultivation is all about, practitioner. Dhamma practitioner that cultivates the Dhamma. And through this cultivation, you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of merits, a lot of wisdom and understanding that will help you change your life, transform your life. Then this develops into what we call virtue, merits. That's why Shenhua mentioned the wisdom of the Buddha is inner virtue. Outer virtue is based on your understanding. Then you use your materialistic wealth or resources to help you gain merits. So sometimes resources need not be materialistic wealth or what. Means what you have learned, like metta and all those things. Then you radiate metta, radiate love, radiate good mind states, wishing all beings well and happy. Then wish for their happiness and blessings. Then you try to share merit, transfer merits. All these are virtue, merits, especially the 10 meritorious action. When you start to cultivate, you will do them. You make offering, dana parami. Then you keep your precept, sila parami. Then you meditate, bhavana parami. Then you listen to the true Dhamma. Again, it's a meritorious action. then you rejoice again, it's a meritorious action. Then you straighten your view, it's a meritorious action. Then you share merit, transfer merit. Then you help out the Buddhist community, the sasana, by providing all your support or volunteer service, service to the sasana, to the Buddhist community, or even our Kayamita group. You can volunteer to be a part of our committee members to help us run or do certain things. We have the retreat committee, we have the spiritual trip committee, we even have the what they call Dharma website committee, and many others activities that we need people to come forward to volunteer with the faith and the understanding. But this not only benefit you, it benefit the Kayamitas and the Sasana. The Saitama protector play their role. Then as cultivator of the way, we are Dharma practitioner. So when they protect the Dhamma, they also protect the cultivator, the practitioner. That's why we, as Kayamita, when we travel, we are like very blessed, because this Dhamma protector, Wei Tong and all the rest, they really rejoice and protect you when you cultivate the Dhamma, when you have the virtue and the blessing and the understanding. All this is what understanding is all about. Yeah. Then after you have done this, the last thing you can do is you can invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover from your karmic whatever problem. Then develop the ability to recover to good mind state and good physical health, so that you are given a second chance to live your life, to develop the cultivation and all those things. So these are the three things. Acknowledge, acceptance, means do what you have to do. Ask for forgiveness, do the repentance sincerely. Then after that, undertake the vow to not repeat all this. We are following the advice of the Buddha, means Dhammapada verse 183. And when you do that, the cultivation begins. You become a true disciple of the Buddha, or a true genuine devotee of the Buddha. That's how you can change your life, transform your life. And then you turn things around with understanding, following the Dhamma way, and you become beautiful. Then as you follow the advice of the Buddha, you cultivate all the essential Dhamma, the teaching. Finally, the Four Noble Truths is strengthening, and end up doing the meditation to cultivate heedfulness, leading to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha, so that you can have the embodiment of that. Then invoke power of merits to help yourself, help people, help others. So these are the three ways that can play a great role in life. And you can be a blessing to all mankind, all humanity, society, and also nature. That's why you will have loving kindness towards all, not only human beings, all living beings, all of nature, all humanity. So these are the essential important understanding. Okay, we go back to the Lotus Sutta. Then I continue a bit more. Okay, so The first part on age, more or less finished. So, wait, I will read the last part. He knows what happened in the past and what is going on now. So this one I have gone through, I have explained. As if he could see everything with his own eyes, see? Like what I tell you, I got no psychic nothing. Not to say I can see the future or the past, no. But from what happened, the causes and conditions, through the Dhamma understanding, I like can understand why things are the way it is. And you can be more and more at peace with what happened, with the reality. You're conditioned like that, things should be like that, cannot be otherwise. Why you want to go against nature? Go against what is. If you do that, means you want things your way, which is not nature's way, then suffering will follow. Okay? So this is the explanation. And the next part, the second important word of the sutta is and warn. So here, based on the commentary, Shenhua said his strength, means the Buddha, is deteriorating. Although he is advanced in age and his strength is deteriorating, his basic foundation and his aspiration has solidified and matured. He is very well versed, means very experienced, full of wisdom, virtue, which is comparable to the Buddha's virtue of severing. As the words say, and this one very important, afflictions are endless. I vow to sever them all. Or here they use the word to cut them all. So this is like our second basic vow of the Bodhisattva. Afflictions are endless. So you vow to endure and severe all suffering. If you fail to make a decision properly, you will have the hassle of the resulting mess. If you should have cut something off and you fail to do it, you will have to suffer the consequence for your inaction. So all these are very easy to comprehend or to develop as understanding, because human beings' problem is they don't understand what is going on, then they fail to make proper decision or prompt decision to overcome whatever situation that they are encountered with. That's why my advice to all Kalimata is always, whenever something unfavorable or negative happen, don't get angry, don't panic, don't fear, don't worry, don't become negative. Stay calm, maintain the peace through understanding, to accept the reality of the moment, like what the Buddha advised. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, things will have to be like that. So if you fail to have this understanding, and you fail to reflect and contemplate with a calm mind, a mind that has clarity, then once you have acceptance, your mind is not agitated. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness. You become like peaceful. Your acceptance free you. Then through that clarity of mind, you ask yourself, what happened? And how can you resolve all this amicably following the Dhamma way? And then you will know what is the causes behind. Then you do what you have to do. And the most important, as I always advise, is resolve problem. 解决问题. Don't hold on to problem. Don't cling on to problem and refuse to resolve it. Then if things that can be resolved with simple, like materialistic wealth, if you have the means, then resolve it. Understand or not? It's just like the Buddha's advice on the three types of happiness that the lay people can have. The first one is the happiness of possession, knowing that you have acquired this wealth or this materialistic thing, could be your salary or what, through the Dhamma way, without harming people, causing karmic negativity and all things, without deceiving, cheating, then there is that joy inside you that you can have where you earn it. Especially your first package of salary when you started work. Yeah. Or your whatever durian runto to your good karma. Then after that, the second type of happiness is after you have the possession, then you can use it for the good of the many, to help people, to develop wholesomeness, to do dana parami, to bring about well-being, a blessing to all. So all this can give rise to another type of happiness. Then the third one, of course, when you have the means, try to pay off your debt. Be somebody who don't have debt. The happiness of being free from debt. That thing, I think, the modern society can understand very clearly, especially those who borrow from all the loan shark, tai long, all this thing. This is the greatest blessing, to be free from debt. But not everybody have the good karmic parami to have this understanding. So now we go back to the sharing. So just now I mentioned about this happiness, where you can help people, where you can resolve all this, like small matter, for example, simple accident or what. If you can have the means, you just say, "Never mind, I'll pay for it, don't worry." Especially if the one that creates some accident to you, they are new graduate or somebody who just came out to work. They don't have the financial means to pay for your whatever damage or their own damage. So if you can afford, help resolve, just pay it. Then resolve it. Don't get angry over it. So resolving issue is very important. Then you don't hold on to problem. Hold on to issue. Then it becomes unfinished business. Then your mind keep on holding to it, worrying about it. And that thing can linger on very long. Especially your hatred, your anger, your whatever misunderstanding, relationship problem, health problem, financial problem, relationship problem, the first noble true reality. All this, you can resolve it once you have the Dhamma understanding and the wisdom. But this is what the Buddha called craving, attachment. When you don't resolve issue, that's why Shenhua used the word, cut it off. Promptly. If you fail to make a decision to cut it off promptly, you will have the hassle of the resulting mess, is the karmic implication. You should have cut something off and fail to do it, you will have to suffer the consequence of your inaction. This is very true. So unlike us, the Buddha cuts off what should be cut off, where he has the virtue of severing with the wisdom. He has the virtue of wisdom to that enable him to see everything very clearly. He will not be confused or unclear when faced with any situation. So this is the beauty of wisdom. Once you develop Dhamma understanding and wisdom, it can help you solve a lot of problems. It can help you overcome a lot of life situation, issue and problem. So this today's sharing is very good for normal people who wants to understand how we can apply the Buddha Dhamma to help us understand life, live life, and overcome our karmic negativity so that we can turn around with this understanding to become a cultivator of the way or devotee of the Buddha, disciple of the Buddha, to actually plant the seed of Bodhi to go this way so that we change our life for the better, transform our life for the better. Okay, so next part. Oh, limitless wealth. This one maybe we stop here. We are 9:45 already. We will continue with this later. I mark this page of limitless wealth. We are at page 587. Now we shall continue your second session, which is meditation reporting. If you have any, followed by Q&A, whatever question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, or how to apply this teaching to help you understand life, resolve your life problem matter, you can also develop the sharing.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Good evening. Nice to see you again. I've been seeing you the last few sessions. Very good. Yes, you also register for the retreat. This retreat will help you a lot.
I guess I've been away for a while. But I was also sticking in between, you know.
Definitely. Because while in the Kayamita website, you will receive all those video and all those things too. So whenever you're free, you can listen to them. And they are very beneficial, especially for those going for the retreat. Today one is particularly useful because it's for normal lay people and cultivator of the way to overcome their karmic obstruction and to resolve their life problem and situation. And today I describe it very clearly, very comprehensive. It's a repeat, but all these are done so that understanding can be there, clarity for even new people. I expanded on it, and that's why it took me so long. Continue, Nancy. Yes. You can ask question or share whatever you want to share or report your meditation. And if you have any question that you want to clarify, you can ask.
So, honestly, I've been away for a while, so I need to
settle down.
But last Thursday, I attended the class in Padmasuri.
Yes, that was very good. The Padmasuri house.
But somehow, like I said, I was away, but then I was still searching, and I realized what Brother Teo is teaching has been the truth, lah.
In fact, a lot of Kayamita came to know that. And now even new people from all over the world, Singaporean, they write in and they requested to join the retreat and all those things. In fact, the video that Jin Hao and the committee, my daughter, they all, Brother Teo, Sui An, they all, Brother Lau helped to set up. It has helped a lot. Now all the short video has actually bring for a lot of understanding to cultivate the other way. In fact, a lot of Dhamma practitioners now, they subscribe to that website link. So every time the video come out, they will receive. And our Kayamita is, I think, about 100 plus only, less than 200. But that subscriber base, 600 something. And according to Jin Hao, a lot are overseas, you know, and non-Kayamita. And they find it very important, very useful, and they appreciate a lot. This type of clarity of sharing of the teaching and the Dhamma is very unique. Then today I saw Sister Pocheng send to me Arlene's profile logo, the logo. You know what is written there? No? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless though. The heedful never die. Oh, I saw that logo. I said, sadhu means they have actually captured that point. Well, these are the Dhammapada words that are very important, very useful to develop the understanding of the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And seldom I find the Buddhist community understood what that Dhammapada verse is, especially verse 21, 22, 23. But now, after my sharing for over almost 20 years, people start to understand. No? They realize heedfulness is very important, and to be heedful, you need to train your mind to be mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful, then steadfastly, like how Amy came to realize also. Constantly meditative, you know, to cultivate all this. So all this understanding, they start to blossom, and people are benefiting from it. And they try to contact us and ask us to add them to the WhatsApp group, and some even express their interest to attend the retreat and all this thing. So, like I said, the Kayamita Falls, the purpose of this website is purpose and intent, and also role that it will play has already surfaced. And before it happened, I already knew. That's why I predicted to you all since 2016. The website took off in 2017, I remember, early 2017. We started doing it end of 2016. Then the Bodhisattva Way, the Supreme Vehicle Teaching, all came out. That's why this latest book, Nancy,
yes.
you will get a copy. I will pass to you at the retreat. Or you have got it from Padmasri.
I will contact her.
Ah, you contact her. Very good. You can ask her to send some to Klang.
Yes.
The Klang group. You all can collect for the Klang group on their behalf.
Anyway, I would like to extend my gratitude to Brother Teo for not up on us.
Oh, no problem. You all have been very supportive and full of faith ever since I went to Klang to give that Friday talk last time for quite a while. Then you all have been inviting us, Kayamita, to have your annual, you call what, New Year lunch or what. And sometimes Brother Gandhi or and even yourself, you all invited us to your house, Dana. And
yes.
From that talk that I gave, we transcribed it out into a book. That book is very good. Essential Dhamma of the Buddha. That brown book is very good. You edited it, I think. Sorry, you transcribed it, then I edited it. And it came out to be a very good book, yeah, with a lot of clarity and easy to understand about the teaching, the very basic teaching. In fact, somebody told me they gave that book to one Westerner, I think a European lady, who was in this, there is a Buddhist Saranga, well, Taiping there, what is it?
SBS.
SBS, yeah. They were having a retreat there. Then that Masalai lady, I think, couldn't quite understand what is going on. Then they were staying in the same dormitory or what. Then three of them are our Kayamita, I think. Then one of them, the Kayamita, said, I give you this book, very good. He said, you read, yeah, then you can understand. And after she read, you know what the feedback was? She came and talked to the Kayamita. He said, thank you so much. He said, it's so easy to understand. He said, Dana sila bhavana, and why in the chanting we say precepts is very important, because it's a source of spiritual joy, spiritual wealth, and spiritual peacefulness of mind. So all those were explained, and it's very easy to understand, very simple. Then how to listen, I remember that book, The Art of Listening. Then I shared quite a bit about the cultivation there too. Those were the causes and conditions at that time. Then that time, I think Brother Sia was still around. And he was also very supportive, and despite his condition, he was full of faith. And beautiful things do happen. And you all also that time came for the retreat. And most of your clan people, I think, they have faith. Especially those who, every time I go there, I meet them. Susan Leo, and also that brother, what are you? That one, Chi Wei, worked for Chi Wei one last time. Brother De, then also Gan, Brother Gan.
Kelly.
Kelly Leo, and many others. That's why it was beautiful. So I rejoice with their wholesomeness. You send the blessing to them. They say, yes, my nature would like to give them my blessing and rejoice with their wholesomeness. So maintain the faith. Do listen to the sharing. Then try to get a copy of the book and read up. Whatever you don't understand, you can attend the class and ask. No problem. It will help you all.
Yes.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, sadhu. You continue, Nancy.
I like I said, I don't have much to say, Bharatil.
Oh, don't worry. Any question you have? You want to?
I just want to ask. Sometimes when I do my meditation, a lot of vibrations.
Yes.
And I will just
Which part of your body, the vibration?
The whole body, actually. I think I feel that there is energy, like it's a lot of energy.
Yeah. Then what you do?
Settle down, that's right. And even my hand will do a lot. I think Brother, you've seen it before. My hand have a lot of, what do you call it? I forget the word to use. It will move around.
Correct. It's like a lot of vibration and energy. But you must remember the first three of the four support. Every time it happens, relax into it. Then the vibration will slow down. You relax into it, relax. Just let it be. Then don't feed it with any more thought process or excitement or what, just relax. Then maintain the awareness. Just be aware, that's it. Aware, finish. Don't try to know, don't try to verbalize, don't try to create any thought. Just relax and let it settle down. You become very quiet and very still, very fast. And your mind enters stillness. And you will realize your true mind very fast. Don't go and listen to what people tell you about energy, vibration, or thinking that you have vibration, you have this energy, you have progress. Forget about it. Energy is very common. And most people have a lot of vibration. If they do Qigong or do some exercise or whatever, it will bring about energy. Even some, they go and do like Reiki or what type of training, or yoga or what, they will build up energy, even anapanasati or any type of focusing concentration. But what is important is understanding what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, what you need is to be heedful. To be heedful, you need to be mindful. Then stabilize it so that it becomes ever mindful. Dhammapada verse 23 define heedfulness very clearly. And 21 mention, without doubt, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't have mindfulness leading to stability of it, if you are not ever mindful, constantly meditating, means heedful, then you don't stand a chance. Means you become heedless. You are as if dead. That's why the heedless think a lot. The thought process, they manifest very fast, and a lot of mental activity, mental chattering, then yeah. Verbalization, all this, they cannot cope. In fact, I saw a lot of questions that people pose to the monks. The most recent one is, I think my wife sent me the list of somebody, I think, who conduct a retreat at Pubs, I think. I think the monk you all may know, I think, Achana Achalo. Then she received a lot of this type of questions, all about they cannot calm down, they find problem in meditating and all those things. So all these are due to lack of sati, mindfulness, spiritual faculty, the understanding. So you don't go and fight them, resist them, and do all those funny things. You only need to understand the mental hindrances are there because you don't have spiritual faculty, the opposite vibe. Then the mental hindrance, their nature is a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is the meditative state. That's why you cannot have that mind that is tranquil, peaceful, and still. So all these are the understanding. That's why the first support is relax. When you relax into it, all the agitation, the heedless thinking, they will start to slow down. Then stay with it and maintain awareness. When you maintain awareness, means you don't create thought process, you don't try to know, you don't try to do. You don't have to be involved or entangled in anything. You just relax and maintain peacefulness. Silent. Just aware. Finish. Aware. Finish. Whatever that interact with your sense basis to trigger off the respective consciousness, then your mundane mind starts to use your memory, views, opinion, conditioning, and habitual tendency to stir the mind and to react, to create the duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. These are the first two hindrances of mind, sensual desire and evil. If throughout the day you do this, how can your mind be peaceful? Yeah, these are mental hindrances. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. If that is the case, if you do it so often, it becomes habitual tendency. Then throughout the day, your habitual tendency keep on stirring your mind with like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then how can you develop the meditative mind? That's why this is obvious. That's why you need to relax into it, maintain awareness, so that you decondition your heedless thinking. And when your awareness becomes stable, your mind becomes very quiet on its own, without any conditioning or focusing or a conditioned state. It's a free mind that settles down and becomes peaceful, quiet on its own. That is the real sati, the real meditation. If you cannot do that, then it shows that they cannot understand the sati or mindfulness as taught by the Buddha. Where they go and verbalize, they go and develop thought-based meditation, they come up with method, technique, which are a series of instructions to do things. And who do? The thought do. That's why I say, don't try to do, don't try to know, don't try to create Sankara activity, mental activity, thought activity. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let the heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind, settle down. Then when you are patient enough, it will settle down. Initially, maybe take you longer. It may take 5 to 10 minutes. But once you get it, you feel good. Then later on, as you become skillful in it, you become quiet. You become more peaceful, tranquil, and still. And sometimes, they can develop the ability to settle into that meditative state within minutes. That if you have become very stable and very good, the moment you relax and maintain awareness, within less than 1 or 2 minutes, you settle down. And your mind becomes very beautiful. That tranquility, that stillness, that silence, that nature within, the awareness nature, that is your true mind, which living beings seldom have a chance to come into contact with, to develop the understanding of what that nature is. That is the unborn, uncreated. That is the one that was there all along.
Yes.
Since birth. So all these are beautiful understanding.
Yes.
Sadhu, if you can understand that, then it will help you. Nancy. So now, hopefully you understand. All those energy, don't worry. Just silent, relax. Maintain awareness.
Awareness is very, very important.
Yeah, very important.
Thank you, Radio.
Thank you, Sadhu. Nancy. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Hello, good evening, Radio, Mrs. Stu, and all Kailamita. Was full of joy that Nancy is back.
Sadhu. So, a lot of Kailamita know Nancy and Kelly, they all from Klangon.
Brother, I still remember Brother Sia.
Brother Sia,
we are together in Cameron Highland retreats.
Many retreats,
So, just to give a bit of faith to Nancy, she's back. Brother, 我想讲的是 我在五台山回来的 一些encounter. Actually, 其实我也不懂五台山回来到底我们有怎样的所谓的 什么收获 或者我们会有怎样的想法 其实我什么也没有 就是但是它很奇怪的是 当我读经的时候 就好像一个 direct 的读经 它就是明白明白明白这样子那个 experience 是很奥妙的 你会觉得 怎么会这样呢 我读完了 Vimalakirti Sutta 然后我读圆觉经 当我读圆觉经的时候 我哭了起来 哭，一直哭，一直哭，然后哭到我自己都，哎呀，不要接下去了吧。然后到我晚上去睡觉的时候，我一躺下去的时候，他那个四大那个 four elements 所有的 Buddha在那个经里面所讲的一切，直接在我的 heart 那边 manifest 哦，我就又是在那边哭。 当你哭的时候，你很明白到所有的一切都是假的、空的。所以这一切的一切，然后我读完圆觉经之后，然后我就读 Surangama Sutra， 这是 Surangama Sutra 对我来讲，我觉得有一点点的深。但是当我读到 Chapter 3 的时候，我忽然就明白到很多 related to Bradu 的 teaching。它是非常非常的 details 的，在讲着所有的我们的 be it like 我们的six senses 啊，还有我们的身体的四大，我们的咀嚼啊，就是色香味触法。 所有的一切都很清楚的在里面的去阐述，去给我们去明白。所以我很感恩这一次 Brad Dew 的五台山的 trip， 因为我真的是 他就是推动我好像走向那个菩萨道的Pierre啊，推到你。 好像你不可思议出来，所以我就想借着这个机会给Nancy一个飞，我们所谓的 cultivation 在这里真的是，我可以说真的不可思议，我自己也跟阿松分享，真的不可思议。你是一有时间你就会去读经，以前我根本不是这样的。对。 他就那个 Virian
哦，like，因为有时间哦，你就去哇，你就去想去读那个经，因为你要你知道你读了，你就会自立，然后可以利他，就是来跟人家分享，对，所以这一次我很感恩文殊菩萨的开示和加持和
blessing， 哇，我真的是。 还有我就是想在这里顺便赋予我们大家 coming 的 retreat 得来不易，所以我们要好像书记讲的，我们要 embrace 和很珍惜当下这个机会，不要给他错过，真的是错过就可能就很后悔，就太迟了。就因为好像我也有听阿Jana Chalo 的 talk about， 就是我听了一点点，就是他说，Are you sure you won't die now？ 你 好像我们都知道，那个所谓的棺木是装死人的，他没有说论年龄的。对。所以在当下，我们有这个身体，或者我们有这个 condition。
对，我们要去
cultivate， 就要趁着这个时候，当我们身体来到不能 cultivate 的时候，已经太迟了。所以我也感恩 Brad 就刚才的开始 about 这个 karmic 的东西。因为这个 karmic 的东西，我们要跳过去也不容易。但是 with Brother Dio 的 teaching， 我相信很多我们的 Kayamita 都能做到。Yeah, very easy. 对，因为那个三个
advice， very easy to do。
所以对我而言，我真的很感恩 Brother Dio，因为真的是 with 这个一个所谓 spiritual trip 这样子，我们就能够benefit 到这么多。对。 而且是真的不可思议，不可思议。他会让你真正的走上这个菩萨道，而不是为了自己成佛，是为众生，众生就包括我们自己，先我们要先自利，然后利他。当我们没有这个 wisdom， 我们自己本身就烦恼，就好像刚才Brad就讲的断，一定要先把烦恼断。
对，然后我们这个宏愿里面也有讲，我们的烦恼思愿断，我们不断这个，我们也永远走不上这个，就是所谓的，我们不能悟到那个无生法忍啊，就是你没有生灭，没有生灭的刹那刹那，对，它都在那边，是多么的美好的。好，所以感恩
Brother Dio， 感恩
大家，阿弥陀佛。Let us rejoice， 阿弥陀佛，萨埵萨埵萨。 Very good sharing. That's why I told a lot of Kayamita while at the Uthaisan trip at the two sharing. I said, you all may not really know, most of you, what happened at that spiritual trip. Those few days, 7 to 8 days, although total is about 9 days, but the flight we take off, within minutes, we already next day. We're almost midnight, we fly. So within that short period of 7 to 8 days of spiritual trip, a lot of things actually happen for those who can have the sensitivity of mindfulness, awareness to understand. Then there is a lot of faith, a lot of joy, because a lot of beautiful wholesomeness has taken place, and nature's condition is so conducive, the sign were everywhere, and everything just unfold and manifest the way it's meant to be. Then like I said, while there you may not know, but you feel energetic and you feel the what they call the virya, the faith and all those things, despite the strenuous walking every day. Then someday we have to climb quite high. Then all this, almost every day, the visit to temple, way place, and also we have to walk for more than 10 to 15 or 16,000 steps. Then we have to climb that Pusa thing or Tai Lo thing, 1,080 steps. I was told but to give only about 300 plus a bit. So it's almost three times the Batu Cave higher. Just imagine, you know, all above 60, one except five of them below 60. You just climb all the way. Then come down some more, you know, from there. But there was this, what they call virya in the faith. And most of them make it. And there is a lot of good experience and all. So you may appear tired, but your virya and your sadha faith will drive you and sustain you. Then you will have a lot of joy, a lot of like gratitude, understanding. And this movement and activity, actually, when we travel together, the collective consciousness, the the Utai Sons, Manjusri's nature's energy, and the Dharma protectors, the great beings' nature, all those, they actually had an effect on all of you. And all this effect were taken in without you knowing. Especially those who already developed the stability of mindfulness, even you don't have, but by being there with the faith, the virya, and the sadha, and the, what they call virya, to actually continue with the faith to cultivate and develop the joy, you have already received a lot. Then all the merits that we do through our common pool fund, Karyamita funds, and the various donation, wholesomeness, rejoicing, and what happened at a few of the way places, which are very special, very unique, they have contributed to a lot of transformation inside you without you knowing it. That's why when you reach home, I predicted to you, almost most of you, you will feel very tired after you land and reach home. Then you will have a good sleep. Actually, during that time, all this, your nature inside will start to activate and move and assimilate what it has to assimilate. That's why you look at Sister Alicia. I think not only her, a lot of other Kayamita who has that ability, they will go through that phase. Then after that, you become different really, you transform it without you knowing it one. It's exactly like Guang Qing Lao He Sang he shared. Guang Qing Lao He Sang was asked the question, 什么是智慧? What is wisdom? So the way he answered was very beautiful. He said, 智慧 is something very unique and very difficult to understand. Sometimes the cultivator of the way has the wisdom already. They also don't know that they have. But the beauty is, when they encounter a situation, so encounter a situation means very deep meaning. The situation can be a life problem, but they know what to do with it. They will know how to act. Then the second one is like Alicia. When they read the sutta, they can understand or not. Last time they cannot understand, but suddenly like very easy to understand or not. This is what happened. Then without you knowing it, a lot of the understanding has stabilized inside you. Then you become transformed. Then you understand life differently already. Then a lot of things that manifest in life, in the midst of life, is become like Dhamma to you. Then you realize like, Dhamma is everywhere, in the midst of nature, in the midst of life, and in the midst of all the sutta that you encounter or hear about or listen to. That's why all this, it will happen. Then the cultivator of the way will understand all this by themselves. That's why this Dhamma, the Buddha says, pachetang, can be realized only by the wise, each for themselves. Because this thing is like that. The form and mind that go through it will understand. Nobody else. So all these are the beauty of cultivation. That's why Alicia used the word just now. What? How to translate English? Focus. You can never expect one, no. Like, how can this thing happen? How can it be like that? Not only you all going through all this. In the early day, when I went through the cultivation, there was no teacher teaching me, explaining all this. I find out myself, no. I go through the transformation, and I realize all these things myself, no. That's why now I can share with you all and even elaborate on all this and explain in a very much more comprehensive and detailed way. Because these are the things that happen only to true cultivator of the way that have that nature and have done all this before. Normal cultivator cannot. Because they can't even reach the awareness nature cultivation. And most of them are still at the provisional teaching of the sainthood way leading to arahantship or the initial bodhisattva training. And very seldom can you meet a great being who has all this type of cultivation that can share with you all this. That's why Maitreya in 208 knew, came and request. And this teaching has really come out ever since then. So 2008 until now, is only 16 years old. The whole thing has manifested. So, Wukhe Siyi is a very good way of describing what happened. Really, that's why I share with you all many times, even to a lot of kind of. This thing is so amazing, so beautiful, no? And the way it unfolds beyond your wildest dream, I tell you. You never expect such thing can happen, no? And such understanding and unfolding of the Dhamma, the wisdom and the transformation, that this thing can happen, no? And as a living being, no? Or human being, no? You are no different from anybody, you know. That's why the Buddha said he also started as a living being or a human being. Yeah. And I also started as a human being. I'm no different from all of you when I was born. But the only difference is I have my karmic nature, my karmic past, and my spiritual nature, my spiritual training from the past. That's the only difference. But the important understanding is from basic form and mind as a human being, you can cultivate all this. And all this perfection can be developed. All this understanding can be developed. That's why the Buddha's advice, take refuge. It's only within the Triple Gem you can find this teaching. You can develop all this understanding. But the Triple Gem is the most important. The first gem is the great beings, the Sammasambuddha. Then after that is the teaching, the Dhamma. You must take refuge. Then after that are the Aryan Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. These are all the gems that you can find in the universe that can help you. That's why I say, develop affinity with them, seek their blessing, protection and affinity, and guidance. So all this, when you develop the understanding, then your cultivation will progress accordingly. Then when it manifests, you develop a lot of joy. Then you know, normal people can never comprehend all this. You can never understand all this. That's the reason why in the early years I always say, you may think it's fairy tale, but the real happening is even more fantastic than fairy tale. Fairy tale also cannot happen like that, because it can be perfected. It can be so perfect, no, in its causes and conditions. No. Even ask you to plan, you cannot plan so well and so perfect. Even if you are given the power to plan your life, let's say your next life, now give you the full power to plan your life, how you want your life to be, you cannot plan it so well. Because you don't have the wisdom of the working of the nature's law, the Dhamma way. Unless you have that wisdom, that type of understanding is the only way to transform all this possibility. Without that, no way. That's why don't try to like think that you are very smart, you want to plan your life and all those things. But don't get me wrong, when you are on earth, you have to plan your trip, you plan. What I mean is, spiritually, don't try to plan your life. Let your nature do it. Your nature is so powerful, so full of wisdom and understanding. Like the fourth support, trust. You cannot interfere with your mundane knowledge, brain, and all those things. Trust that nature to do, but that nature is already wise, perfect. No error on. Cannot go wrong. And that one move, it will follow that nature to activate, where it's already wise with the understanding. And that transformation, it will know what to do, when to do, and where to do. Everything is just naturally. That's why accord and flow. Let things be. And that is the non-duality. You can transcend duality, which exists within the conditioned world, the existential world. But beyond the existential world, the unconditioned is totally different. That one is the ultimate guiding one. But from there, all things arise. And that one, always remember, when you realize it, you will know it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. There is no word, no concept, no sankhara activity, nothing inside there. That's why that thing is just a nature. And that nature can only be accessed when you come as a form and mind with the vehicle and tool. That's why every life you come, you have to go back to find your way, then to inherit your spiritual nature's past cultivation and also your karmic inheritance. All this is the secret of life, and the difficulty to do all this is in developing the wisdom to understand all this, and it's not easy. That's why this is what Maitreya wanted my nature to share, and this one is very beautiful. He will serve a lot of cultivators on the way very, very well for very long. Okay, we should stop already. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merits. The word is inconceivable. Inconceivable. Means you cannot expect it to happen. Even your wildest dream also, you cannot expect it to manifest that way. Okay, let us share merits. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa kirang rakkantu loka sasana ittawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabasampati siddhiya Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Deo asat kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko. Ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kanye Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones, and we end the whole sharing session. Rejoice, sadhu.